This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Kondorian Murad, the official G&D show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and your trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention the show to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. On the BetQL guest hotline, sports betting is coming to Maryland. Do not place that first bet without checking with BetQL. BetQL analyzes every game to find you the most profitable betting apps. Get 3 free days of BetQL access. Download the BetQL app or visit betql.com. John Middlecoff, former NFL scout, is with The Volume, a guy who I follow on socials, a great source of information for all things NFL, at his name, John Middlecoff, spelled K-A-U-F-F on the back end. John, thank you for the time. Welcome to D.C. via the radio. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Appreciate you. I want to get into the quarterbacks first, and we can kind of work our way around the NFL with you, but starting with this quarterback class, how do you see it as a former scout when you look at Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy, kind of the big four, if you will?
Well, I think we got like two separate groups, right? We have the top guys led by Caleb Williams, who's been the top guy now for a couple years, who would have been the number one draft pick last year. And then the group of trying to decipher Drake May, Jaden Daniels. I think it's pretty clear the way NFL teams view it. We don't know for certain because the draft has to play out. But if he ends up going four, you know, it's pretty clear J.J. McCarthy's really highly thought of. And then there's kind of that next tier of guys, Penix, who just from his play should be on that level. But you factor in injuries, some age concerns, and then, you know, kind of I would put Bo Nix in his category just in terms of another guy that probably could go in the first round.
So you said it's pretty clear how NFL teams view it. I mean, is that how it is? Is one through four with, you know, Daniels, then May, then McCarthy, or is there less consensus than that?
Well, I think one thing you know with the draft, if we know too much information, it's one thing with the number one overall guy, right? Like the year the Cardinals traded Josh Rose, or, you know, it was like Kyler Murray is going to be the guy, or Myles Garrett. Sometimes you know the number one pick. But after that, we get curveballs all the time. So it's one thing for everyone to go quarterbacks and to go one through four. And I think now we all just kind of agree with that. And everyone says it. I do it. Probably you do it. Most casual fans do it. It's usually not the way it works. But it does feel like that's pretty loud. And the one thing you got to be careful of around this time of year is like, oh, the Vikings love J.J. McCarthy. Well, it doesn't behoove them to tell everyone that because – what if the Giants do too? And it's much easier for them to jump a couple spots than it is for another team to jump, you know, 8-9 spots. So you got to be careful what you believe. You know, I think it's pretty clear now with the guy running your operation. You know, it's not – Washington's not – Adam Peters is not Mr. Media. I mean, that's not his style of leaking things left and right. So I wouldn't say it's cloak and dagger, but by no means do people feel like they have a great idea one way or the other which way he's going to go. And usually that's the healthiest way to do it.
If you had to guess right now, so Williams goes 1-1, presumably, what do you think Washington does it to?
I would say texting around to my buddies that go to these pro days. It's like an incredible gossip sesh, right? All these scouts and pro directors and GMs. That a lot of people have been telling me for about a month straight that it's going to be Drake May. I think I saw yesterday that's what the betting market reflects. So I would guess Drake May. I've known Adam Peters since I was a graduate assistant at Fresno State. And if you look back at his history, he starts as a young guy with New England Patriots, Tom Brady, pocket quarterback. Goes with John Elway. They sign Peyton Manning, pocket quarterback. The success he had with Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Brock Purdy. Ironically, Brock Purdy is by far the most mobile out of that group. But the success he's had from working in the NFL, and he's had a lot of success. I mean, Super Bowls, going to Super Bowls, these Hall of Fame players, being around great coaches, has been pretty, you know, very similar the way guys have played. Obviously, you know, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are better than Jimmy Garoppolo or Brock Purdy, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one time that when things got a little haywire is they took more of the flyer on quote-unquote the dual threat guy. And it's not fair to compare Jaden Daniels to Trey Lance because Jaden Daniels is in a different universe. What he did in the SEC, he's been starting forever. Trey never played, and it was a debacle. But I think it makes sense for them to kind of, and I know the Kingsbury, you go, well, Arizona with Kyler Murray, you don't draft a quarterback at number two overall just because of who your coordinator is, right? I mean, this is the pick in a perfect world for the next 15 years. And I if I was taking an educated guess right now, no inside information, I would say Drake May.
So that's my guess too. John Middlecoff is with us here on Grant and Danny. I've guessed that for different reasons. Basically, it's who we've heard the least connection to, right? Like it's whoever they're most silent about feels like who they end up taking, to your point about secrecy and kind of the espionage part of this. But make the case here, John, for Daniels at two, if you would, because your case for Drake May makes a lot of sense to me in terms of Peters, his history, et cetera. What's the case to be made for Daniels being the guy at number two?
I would say one thing, though, on them being kind of silent, they don't really have anything to hide. Right. I mean, he's been pretty up. They're not trading the pick and you know who's going number one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it'd be one thing if you were at three or four. But I think being at two, that knowing you get the pick of the litter post Caleb Williams, you got less to hide. I think the thing with Jaden is the game. You know, we've seen a guy. He was much more accurate in college than Lamar. And I'm not saying he's quite the runner of Lamar, but you know, we've seen a guy very recently change the league. And even Kyler, when healthy, was pretty spectacular for Cliff Kingsbury. So and what he did in that conference against those DBs and the level of defense, his deep ball accuracy, obviously has athleticism. He's tall. You know, the one knock is the frame. And I wouldn't even just say the frame, is kind of the recklessness in which he runs. Like one of Lamar's defining attributes as a player, in my opinion, obviously, the work ethic, all the stuff you can't quantify. People love him, how much he cares. But as a runner, and he's one of, if not one of the great true runners in NFL history, and in the open field, I mean, you go back to like Steve Young. He's faster than Steve Young. He's as elusive as Michael Vick. But Michael Vick used to take huge shots because he couldn't slide. And he didn't have a great feel for like avoiding that. Lamar never really takes big shots, where if you watch Jaden Daniels, he's not Mr. Avoid the Shots, which I know this isn't 1997 and John Lynch and Steve Atwater are waiting for you running around and you can't really hit like that, but you still get hit hard and guys have never run faster than they do on defense. So I think you just be betting on kind of this hybrid quarterback, which Kyler, Lamar, when they're on, let's face it. I mean, we saw Kyler last year with a team who was terrible. And I get the Eagles weren't free fall, but just he can just take on a team by himself. So if you believe a guy can get to that level, which is hard. I mean, Kyler and Lamar, I mean, we're talking like $500 million worth of quarterback. They are just impossible to game plan, I guess.
Former NFL scout John Middlecoff here on Grant and Danny. Who do you have higher on your board? Let's say you were the GM. If you were Washington, would you take Daniels or May?
I would bet on the bigger, faster, higher upside. I mean, part of the draft is not about today. You know, it's really about, if you're in Washington, Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, it's about 2028. Like, the Chiefs benefit from the Mahomes draft this year, the Bills this year. Like, it's the big picture. And it's the hard part. It's usually why guys don't go number one overall. There are some question marks. And 2 years ago, Drake May, I don't want to say he was right there with Caleb, but he was the clear number two guy. And it's pretty, you know, I've always taken the educated guess. You know, it came out that he was offered $5 million to leave. I think that came from Alabama. And he said no. I mean, this was a guy after his last season. Like, SEC teams were willing to pay whatever it took. And luckily his connections in North Carolina kept him there. But obviously he didn't quite have the same season. And the hard part about the draft is you never comp a guy. You never be like, this guy is the next Taylor Heineke. Right? You'd be like, what? You always go, this guy's the next Lamar, or this guy's the next Josh Allen, which is unfair because we've all been watching football a long time. I haven't seen many Josh Allens and Lamar Jacksons. But you have, when you're drafting high, you got to kind of look at it the best case scenario. And I do think the best case scenario for Drake May is probably better than Jaden Daniels. And if all their character and all that stuff checks out, I think you just lean with the bigger, stronger guy. It's a risk either way. Like, this is not an easy decision. And let's face it, like, whoever he picks, everyone's going to be happy the moment you pick him, but this will be judged, like, when us three are talking in 2027, we will have a body of evidence and be like, God, that was a genius pick, or that was a disaster. And this is, it's part of the gig. It's why it's so difficult. And I would imagine, and I do believe them when they say, we don't know for sure, we're still working through this, just because it is, you're going through every scenario, every potential outcome. And you could probably also throw J.J. McCarthy in there. You're just having these long, long conversations. And it's pretty clear in Washington, too, right? The owner plays a big role. Bob Myers, it's not like Bob's telling you how well this guy throws the football, but he spent a lot of time around really high-level guys. That one defining separating factor, I think specifically at that position, is all the intangible stuff. Like, we know both these guys have a lot of physical, sweet attributes. What's going to really make or break them, besides, you know, the infrastructure, your teammates, is who you are, your wiring, and I would imagine they're digging deep on that. Because that's how you feel good about it once you make the pick and kind of once it's out of your hands as a GM.
John, you mentioned McCarthy. I mean, he's on the all date your daughter team, it seems like, but he didn't – listen, and I'm not an evaluator. I'm just a soft-bodied zilch that likes football. But I just couldn't draft him as high as he's going to go if I was one of these GMs, just because his college coach didn't think it was in their best interest to give him the keys. That's my own issue. That's kind of my own hurdle. To me, he's the perfect candidate for a team that's already decent, like a New Orleans in the teens, but he won't last there. What's your eval on McCarthy? What's his future look like?
I hear what you're saying about not getting the keys, but Jim Harbaugh doesn't really hand the keys, right? I mean, he's a very 1980s, 1990s style coach in 2024. He wants to run the ball, and he wants to play defense, and he did that with every quarterback he's ever had, starting with Andrew Luck through last year. And it's why I think they're going to take a lot of pressure off Justin Herbert's plate in the next couple of years, because that's how Jim coaches. I'm with you. I mean, I'm just a couch scout podcaster now. But it was hard, if you're sitting on your couch watching J.J. McCarthy play, to ever go, oh, yeah, this guy's a top five pick. But the draft is about – he's 20 years old. like I said, it's not about how he plays today. It's how good he can become. And I was the other day looking at some of his testing numbers, like the short shuttle, some of his athleticism. And it had a lot of comparisons to Alex Smith. Now, Alex was taller than JJ. You know, Alex, I don't know if you guys ever got close to him when he was – he's pretty tall. JJ's under 6'3". Alex feels much closer to 6'5". But JJ does have a better arm. So if you told me you get a better arm version of Alex Smith, which feels kind of like the mold of this guy, you know, you feel like you're in a pretty good spot if that's the quarterback you get. Now, the problem is there's no such thing, and I've always argued this, as a high floor prospect, because everyone's a risk. And a high floor prospect just means your overall skill set and ceiling isn't as high. And a high ceiling guy is just as likely to not work as a high floor guy. So this gets back to there's risk in Caleb Williams. All these quarterbacks, you add the added pressure of the popularity of the sport. It's really, really difficult. So I understand it, but I'm with you. I'd have a hard time pulling the trigger super high, given that if it fails, most teams don't end up the next year finding Brock Purdy in the seventh round and saving everyone's life, right? It usually, if you miss on that quarterback, it derails your franchise.
Other than the Vikings, who it seems like everybody's assuming is coming up into the top five for a quarterback, which team do you think is most likely to make the big move up?
Yeah, I think there are several teams. I mean, the Giants are lingering there at six. The Raiders and the Broncos. I mean, the Raiders don't have a quarterback. They got Minshew. They got O'Connell. I mean, they have to find a way. Now, maybe they think we'll just wait and get Penix. To me, he's a little bit of a curveball, right? Just because as a player, you don't need to be Bill Walsh. If you watch Washington play, he's a really good quarterback. He just has all these season-ending injuries. He's obviously older because of the COVID year. He's been in the sport forever. But just as a thrower of the foot, I had Mayock on my podcast earlier this week, and he's like, you can't watch this guy throw and go, this doesn't translate to the NFL. And then he has the pro day, and he runs in the 4.5s, and he jumps. So he's clearly a good athlete, and we know he's a good pocket quarterback. So you just have to wonder, are teams like Denver or the Raiders – likely to kind of mortgage some picks, future picks, and get aggressive, or just go, you know what, we'll just wait till the early teens and draft Michael Penix. And I think he's one of the big curveballs in this draft, because some people think he's like a second-round pick because of some of the question marks with the injuries, and other people, and rightfully so, just go, like, are we overthinking this one?
Real quick, you mentioned the Giants. What are they going to do at six? Are they moving, or are they going to stay put? They're a wild card to me.
Yeah, to me, if you're Dable, let's face it, like, if they have another disastrous year, I mean, John Mara's shown, like, he doesn't really – if your name's not Tom Coughlin, you're not getting the long runway. So if you're him, you're going to want position players because you're trying to win. And if you get a rookie quarterback, I don't care who it is, he might just – especially with the players they got on offense, it might not go well. So are you more inclined to, hey, let's just draft Brock Bowers. Let's just draft one of the receivers. Let's just draft an impact player to help us try to get back to 8-9 wins and show that I am the coach of the year guy that I was viewed a couple of years ago, and not someone that led, you know, an embarrassing offense and I couldn't get along with coaches. So I wonder if there is some differentiation in terms of the opinions from the front office ownership and the head coach. And I wouldn't blame Brian Daboll for being like, listen, we'll just figure it out at quarterback with Daniel Jones. Let's try to get some more talent around him.
John, this was outstanding. Thank you for the insight. Really appreciate it. And look forward to seeing all your coverage leading up to the draft.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Enjoy it. Fun times back there.
Absolutely. It's going to be good. Number 2 overall pick for Washington. What are they going to do? Some of the insights there of John Middlecoff with us on Grant and Danny, former NFL scout. He said Drake May has the higher ceiling ultimately than Jaden Daniels. I want to double click on that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he's hearing, again, he said he doesn't have inside information, but just playing the gossip game with all the people that have been at all the pro days, he thinks Washington is leaning toward May. Let's double click on that next on The Fan.
I would say texting around to my buddies that go to these pro days. It's like an incredible gossip sesh, right? All these scouts and pro directors and GMs. But a lot of people have been telling me for about a month straight that it's going to be Drake May. I think I saw yesterday that's what the betting market reflects. So I would guess Drake May. I've known Adam Peters since I was a graduate assistant at Fresno State. And if you look back at his history, he starts as a young guy with New England Patriots, Tom Brady, pocket quarterback. Goes with John Elway. They signed Peyton Manning, pocket quarterback. The success he had with Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Brock Purdy.
John Middlecoff, former scout, just a few minutes ago here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. He mentioned the betting odds. That was a shift yesterday, by the way. This is going to happen 6-7 times back and forth, I think, between now and the draft. But already a couple times, like a NASCAR race, drafting side by side.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
If you're looking at the bug of what position they're in, like 2-3, back to 2, back to 3. It's just, you know, right now, who's got the draft? Whose nose is out in front? Who will the Commanders take with the number 2 pick in the draft? According to the FanDuel Sportsbook, Drake May has moved ahead of Jaden Daniels as the betting favorite. May plus 105, so about even money. Daniels at plus 115, it's very close. But it had been Jaden Daniels for weeks. It opened, I think, with May as the likely number 2 pick. It's been Daniels pretty consistently. And then we just had Middlecoff on our show. Now, this is a former scout plugged in with scouts, scouting directors, people in front offices, you know, maybe every bit as much as draft analysts are, saying he thinks that they're going to go with Drake May. But if you're keeping score at home, we've heard they're going to go with Jaden Daniels from someone, similarly talking to people. We've heard they're going to go with J.J. McCarthy, and now we've heard they're going to go with Drake May. So,
as you said, everyone's going to have a turn, right?
Exactly.
So, Bet365 has May is minus money, 135, and Jaden Daniels is plus 120. Now, that's going to be different tomorrow. It'll be different next Tuesday.
Every book will have different odds.
Totally. And my point is, this is now, we're on May Island, and it'll be something else tomorrow. But that's how I've always felt. I don't have a good reason for that other than they surprised us so mightily with that coaching search that now seems like ancient history. But nowhere in that process did anybody looking at the team, looking from the league perspective, think, yeah, they're going to be the last team to sign a coach. And it's going to be Dan Quinn, who they could have signed at any point if they were so blown away, right? That the way that process went, and it wasn't until a couple days before when they flushed it through the system of having a couple of the reporters be like, you know who's really blown them away is Dan Quinn. And we're like, really?
Yeah, week out, you started to hear that.
Yeah.
And it was very strategic. It was your rap sheet and a couple of the local folks, and it was like, they really liked Dan Quinn. Man, did they love him in the interview. And that was kind of the greasing of the skids, as if, Just in case, let's make sure everybody knows Dan Quinn's a real candidate. But that all happened later. We're not even there yet in the draft process.
But we would
find out, you know, that they really like Jaden Daniels or they really like Drake May, and then the odds are going to reflect that. And I would imagine the week leading up to the draft, we're going to have a much better idea. But I said this a couple weeks ago. I do think it's very possible that it's draft night. Caleb Williams just walked across the stage and hugged Roger Goodell. The countdown clock is dwindling.
And we don't know.
Pick is in on the graphic with Washington's Block W Commanders logo. And we don't know who they're going to take. I think that's very realistic, actually. I think that's probably likely.
If I could bet on that, I'd bet on that.
Exactly.
Right?
Now, I think that the odds are going to be at that point minus 200 for somebody. Now, I think that, in other words, like there's going to be a heavy favorite because there's going to be a report that the team's brought him in 3 times or they really like him or the Commanders are likely to take him. And the betting odds reflect the reporting.
Yeah, like there's a text message to Drake May, don't go to the restroom during the second pick.
Sure, but I don't think there's going to be a smoking gun.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we're going to know for sure, but this is the first time that somebody who I would say has a lot of good contacts and inside information has said that they think it'll be May. Now, he was very clear. He said, I don't have inside intel, but he goes back with some of the people in Washington's front office. They're not the ones feeding it to him. He does know how they think, and he has lots of scouts all over the league that he used to stand at pro days scouting with. And he's reading the tea leaves and saying Drake May.
Yeah, the closest player in this top three to Middlecoff's point that Adam Peters and company have had success with is Drake May. Now, I'm not saying Brock Purdy and Drake May are the same, but there's the closest approximation there. the guys that have failed under Peter's company, various regimes he's been in, you know, again, a closest approximation is Daniels. And again, Trey Lance is not Jaden Daniels. I'm not saying they are, and Middlecoff did a good job distinguishing that. But we're the product a lot of times of our coaching, of our environment. My sports philosophies in general came from a lot of the coaches that I had, right? I had an absolute hard ass in high school who didn't tolerate any BS, and my college coach was you got to let people be people and trust them to do the right thing. And I'm an amalgam of those sorts of things, right? In terms of, you know, whether it's how I coach now or how I look at sports or players or otherwise. What I value most is consistency. My two favorite players were Cal Ripken and Art Monk. I wonder where I got that. You know what I mean? Like, we're all a product of those things. So it would be reasonable that Peters would be a product of his experiences in the various stops he's been, be they Brady, be they Elway, be they, Purdy and Garoppolo to a degree. You go, I want statuesque, although more mobile now than guys had to be in the past because that's the way the league is. But I need 6'4", chiseled howitzer, every throwing platform in the book, and it looks like Drake May.
That's why I would love to know what was Adam Peters' take on Trey Lance.
That'd be worth a lot.
A lot of people care about that because they got it wrong and they want to know if he was, you know, one of the ringleaders or whatever. I don't really care about that. And my reasoning for not caring about that is you get a lot of things wrong in mm-hmm. this game. This is, as I like to say, it's a batting average world, and you're trying to hit, you know, 650, 700 or whatever. But you're going to swing and miss. You don't want to swing and miss when you trade up from 12 to 3 like they did. Theoretically, that sets you back for years. It just so happens they struck gold with Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy and saved their bacon. But that could have set the organization back in a big, big way. The reason I want to know what he thought about Trey Lance is, was he in that meeting room going, listen, guys, Jimmy Garoppolo is fine. This is where the league's going, and we need the dual threat who can make plays with his feet, who can extend and create, and who can be, you know, a special player in multiple facets. Now, I would actually say that Drake May can do some of that. Like, people act like they hear that and it can only be Jaden Daniels. May can do some of that, but I think you know what I mean. Like, if he wants a running quarterback, not someone who can't pass, Lamar Jackson can pass very fine, but a quarterback who can be exceptional as a runner, who gives you that added weapon to your offense, well, that is clearly more Daniels than it is May. May is more of a scrambling athlete, whereas Daniels is more of an electric runner. He happens to also be a really, really good passer. He doesn't get enough credit for that. But that's what I wonder is, his point is, this is what he's always had. Well, true, but he probably didn't make the trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. For all I know, he got a phone call from Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch going, dude, we're trading for Garoppolo. Like, that doesn't mean that's his proclivity, in other words.
Totally.
He's never run his own shop. He wasn't the reason Tom Brady was the starter as a low-ranking scout at the time with New England. So might he be more favorable towards someone standing in the pocket, you know, mobile but flat-footed, making throws? Yeah, possibly. But he might also all along have been studying this and going, if I ever get my chance, I'm finding the new era, the 2024. I want the next Lamar. Mm-hmm. Like he could absolutely think that way. We have no idea.
Yeah, it's all on the table. And it's a good point about, you know, not running his own shop, so you never know. But again, I guess the only point I'm trying to make is I do find a logical chain that makes sense to me that the outcome could be I prefer a Drake May style over a Jaden Daniels style. It's also reasonable that he doesn't care, right? And decides, to your point, I may have liked this one thing, but the future is this other thing. So again, we don't know, but over the last month or so, I've kind of said, you know what? That makes the most sense to me in terms of like an intuitive chain that leads me to think Drake May is the pick at 2.
I want to discuss his point that he thinks May is the higher.
That was interesting,
ceiling,
wasn't it? Yeah.
Very interesting to me that if you fast forward and both of them hit their apex, that May, not Daniels, is the better quarterback, because that's not what we've heard from the majority of the people we've talked to. And frankly, it goes against even how I would view it as a May guy, as much as I like Drake May. So let's get into that next on Grant and Danny.
And I think the one time that when things got a little haywire is they took more of the flyer on quote-unquote the dual threat guy. And it's not fair to compare Jaden Daniels to Trey Lance, because Jaden Daniels is in a different universe. What he did in the SEC, He's been starting forever. Trey never played, and it was a debacle. But I think it makes sense for them to kind of, and I know the Kingsbury, you go, well, Arizona with Kyler Murray, you don't draft a quarterback at number two overall just because of who your coordinator is, right? I mean, this is the pick in a perfect world for the next 15 years. And I if I was taking an educated guess right now, no inside information, I would say Drake May.
That's John Middlecoff, the former NFL scout who joined us to discuss what the Commanders might do with the number two overall pick. One of the things he said in the interview was that, in his opinion, May long-term has the most upside. That if all the quarterbacks in this class reach their ceiling, other than Caleb Williams, he would take Drake May's apex over that of Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, and the rest of the crop. It seems to me like the prevailing thought from the average football fan is that the Heisman Trophy winner in the SEC, they just had the 50-touchdown season with just four picks. The guy that we saw scoring six touchdowns in a game, running for 100, throwing for 300, that he might have the higher ceiling with the comps to Lamar Jackson. But according, again, this is one opinion, but to a former NFL scout who's been studying the film, he says Drake May's the guy who teams actually think, if it all works out for everybody, is the can't-miss prospect.
I think that's fascinating, because that, to me, then, I mean, let's say for the sake of argument, that ends up being the consensus. Then that's who you draft, to me, right? I'm not worried about the initial September or 2 months or 6 months or even a year. Down the road, who is it that you have an automatic starter kit where you are a division contender, a playoff contender, and a Super Bowl contender? Just because you got that guy, and then if you get good health for those around you and the right pieces, you got a chance to hoist the trophy. If that's Drake May, then that's your answer, period, end of story. That's my eval. Again, what's that worth? Is that's not the case. The highest ceiling guy to me that might be available to them is Daniels, because of that combination of athleticism, running, and throwing. But that's, I wonder what the, I wonder, I'd love to hear more about what the case is for May, because I see the skill set, for God's sakes.
I'll try to make it. Yeah. He's got probably the
best arm.
He's made the best throws of the group. He's an exceptional athlete, and he has played in what is an NFL friendly offense that fits a lot of coordinators. I mean, specifically Kingsbury here, that kind of offense. But when you look at that kind of athleticism, not to look to run from clean pockets, but to be able to get out of the way when need be, scrambling for over 40 first downs on third and fourth down the last couple of years, and the ability to make, I guess I would just sum it up with 70-plus big-time throws in the last two seasons at PFF. No one else had more than 50. You know, the most big-time throws each of the last two seasons in college football, maybe that's the conversation. You hear all the time, Herbert, it's pretty good upside.
Yeah.
Right? I actually see a lot of Josh Allen. I heard someone the other day say Ben Roethlisberger. Now, again, we're not talking about what a quarterback's going to become or that he's a Hall of Famer or whatever. But that style of game, if he were to add some weight, if he got up to 240, 245, you know, now you're talking about maybe that Ben profile, although he was, you remember late career Ben Roethlisberger.
Sure, that's different than what I'm talking
like
about
270
now.
270 pounds or whatever. But I think there's Josh Allen to his game with Justin Herbert in terms of the just getting out, moving, designing, you know, third and one. It's a heavy backfield where everyone's in front of him and he's just kind of off tackle, running a dive. Like, I could see a lot of that. I saw this tweet on Jaden Daniels. I want to get your reaction to yesterday. In Baton Rouge, Jaden Daniels measured 6'3" and 5'8" inches, 210 pounds. Over the past two decades, only three drafted quarterbacks in the first round have ever been roughly this tall and this light. Teddy Bridgewater, Alex Smith, and Robert Griffin III.
Mm.
Bridgewater obviously had major injuries in his career, although a little fluky because that was a knee.
There was one non-contact in like an OTA or a training camp or something, right?
Good point. Yeah. It was non-contact, so maybe that's not fair.
No, but still, he was hurt a lot.
Alex Smith.
We know.
And Robert Griffin III.
Yeah, we know.
Those are the three guys with similar height and weight profiles that have ever been drafted in round one to Jaden Daniels. Daniels, by the way, is lighter than all of them.
Yeah.
He got to 210 for his pro day. He will not play anywhere close to 210. He will likely play sub 200.
It's my biggest fear with him. It is. The shots that he took, I've seen that YouTube video like everybody has. the Jaden Daniels, you know, opponent highlight hit reel where he's getting smashed, and that has to change from the minute he sets foot on a pro campus, here or anywhere else. That's got to go. You got to keep the creativity. You got to keep the weaponry. You got to keep the ability to be special, you know? But like we talked about with Sam Howell, week one Sam Howell was different than week 10 Sam Howell. Week one Sam Howell against Arizona tried to make a play when nothing was there, got sandwiched between two guys and probably should have left the field for more than, you know, a second for a concussion test. That can't happen from the minute he gets there. So that's my biggest concern with him, are those hits. But yeah, I mean, again, I think we're going to enter a lot of these things as the league continues to evolve rapidly, right, with in terms of athleticism and speed, where the only people that have ever done this and this and this that fit these criteria, and it's going to be a really short list, someone's going to break through and be successful, whether it's Daniels or otherwise, right? We're going to find someone that's 6'3 and a half, 211, that is really, really good, and then we'll have another set of things that have never been broken through.
Steve's in Beltsville. What's up, Steve? How are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Good, buddy.
Your guest just mentioned it, and Grant, you may have mentioned it yesterday. The idea of drafting a quarterback based on your offensive coordinator is insane. It drives me nuts, and it's the just-because theory, which I am not a fan of. I hate it.
Appreciate you.
Love
yeah,
it, dude.
We talked about this a lot yesterday.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you guys missed the conversation, you could go back and podcast that if you'd like. But the point is essentially – Cliff Kingsbury, if things go well, will mm-hmm. be gone within the next 2 years. If things go badly, he might be gone within the next 2 years. There is no reason to draft a quarterback because Kingsbury loves them and or they fit what he does really well. You got to draft the best quarterback prospect that you think will be the best in the league, and then you got to ask Cliff Kingsbury and the rest of the staff, Davita Pritchard, Brian Johnson, quarterback's assistant, David Blau, all of them, to then put together an offense that works for the kid you just drafted. That's the way you got to go. Because if you draft for Kingsbury and he's gone, and the next person running Kingsbury's offense who isn't him isn't as good at it, now that quarterback's falling off anyway.
And that's the point, right? It's got to be a multi-year plan well beyond the couple that you're assuming. And you have to layer talent on the offensive side and the coaching staff as well, which they have.
Looks like the rain's tapering off in town. We will get some baseball in tonight, perhaps. We'll get you ready for first pitch, and we will give you the headlines of the day that it was on this Wednesday on GND next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.